Okay, you guys ready? Just very excited overall, starting from Thursday night and finishing up tonight. We're up there finalizing our college free agent draft class, and that'll be announced on Monday once we get everything finalized. But felt we did a great job layering in another very good draft class that will help us continue to grow and to layer on what we've done over the last couple years. There's a couple of things, you know, that we were able to do in the third day here. As fun as it is on Thursday night and Friday night, I really enjoy Saturday. We're able to do a little bit more maneuverability. Just to explain that trade a little bit, we traded back in the sixth with Miami and picked up a seventh, and we traded back up with Philly. And actually, by doing that, we used one of our lower sevens and improved our positioning in a seventh round pick. So a lot of times you see the maneuverability of going up and down in the draft will have to do with how we're positioning ourselves to try to move up in rounds. Just to talk about, I know Jamal came down here and talked about Willie Beavers and Kendall Brothers. I'm sure people are going to have questions about our big German receiver. But we spent a lot of time with him. I won't reveal the source, but a very good source had talked to us right after the combine and gave us a lead on this kid, that this kid may be coming over from Germany. So I had our pro guys kind of look at his YouTube. I looked at his YouTube, and we kind of followed him through the process. So we were down at his pro day the night before. Terrence Gray, our Southeast scout, had actually taken him out to dinner. We brought him up on the top 30 visit, had spent some time with our offensive coaches, with myself, with Coach Zim. Just wanted to see where his football knowledge was, how he was able to communicate, and we were very impressed. And then I know he had another workout following that. So we drafted him in the sixth round because of his ability and his upside. He has unique size, unique athletic skills. Of course, he's going to stick out like a sore thumb when you're watching the German league, not anything against the German league, but some of the corners he was playing against, I said, looked like some of our scouts sitting across from me. So we had a lot of possession cover two type corners that are scouting right now. But we're very intrigued with his potential, his upside, because you can't find that size, that speed, and all the athletic test numbers that he had. And then after him, we moved back up to get David Morgan, the tight end from Texas San Antonio. We felt very strongly that he was the best blocking tight end in the draft. Not only can he block, he has size. He's a good athlete. His 40 time was a little slower, but what he does at the point of attack when he's blocking, also extremely very good hands. Can catch anything. Made some plays down the field. Very good red zone threat. So he did a lot of things positive as we sat there and watched the tape on him. As we got into the seventh round, Coach Zimmer started getting on me about, let's get some bigger guys because of Kendall Brothers. So I said, okay, Coach, we'll find some guys that have some athletic skill set that are bigger. And so that was Stephen Weatherly out of Vanderbilt. He played kind of like a hybrid 34 outside linebacker. Andre Patterson, we brought Stephen in on the top 30 as well. And we're projecting him to defensive end. Andre Patterson went all the way back to his freshman year in 2013 and pulled all his plays as a defensive end. And I think it was about a 65-play clip. So we sat there and watched him as a potential edge pass rusher because he has the length, he has size, he has the speed. Will need some refinement from a technical standpoint, but felt he has a lot of upside as a pass rusher in a 4-3 defense. And then our last pick, Jerron Kearse was big safety, Didn't know he was going to be on the board that late. I know he probably didn't run as fast as he wanted to at the combine, but Jerry Gray, while I was down there working out the corner, we worked out the safeties as well. And he's a big, long, free safety type. Played early, played very well early in the season. Probably didn't play his best game in that bowl game against Oklahoma, but has potential to and upside. I know Zim really likes to work with some of those tall, long guys back on the back end as a safety, and feel that he also has a lot of tools and athletic skills to work with. So all in all, feel very excited about this draft class. They'll be in next weekend for our rookie mini camp. We'll have a bunch of free agents coming in as well and a lot of tryout guys, so we should have a full roster out there. And excited to get started. It was our last opportunity to add to this roster, and I think we helped improve our roster over the weekend, and anxious now to get started on the football side. I know the coaches are very excited to get started working with these guys and look forward to what's ahead. Questions?
Rick, after focusing a lot on defense the previous 2 years in the offseason, it seems like this year you guys put a focus both in free agency and in the draft on giving Teddy Bridgewater a better supporting cast. What was the importance of that to you to help him out?
I think it is because we have addressed the defense pretty heavily over the last 2 years and feel, you know, pretty comfortable on how we've been able to add, and those guys are contributing to help us win games. We focus a little bit more on the offensive side of the ball, again, to help our young quarterback, hopefully with some of the moves we made on the offensive line, with some of the receivers that we've added, that'll just help in the development of Teddy.
Rick, in terms of more, it's just how good of a story is it, this guy that came from Germany, nobody ever heard of, and boom, now he's drafted.
You know, as Zim said, you know, what are we in it for? Make people's dreams come true? I was like, Zim, you sound like a Disney advertisement. But we drafted him. He was on our board pretty high. And we drafted him because what he is as a football player and what we project him to potentially be. Is he raw? He's going to have a little bit of an eye-opener when he comes in here just with the speed of the game. But he had such a unique size. And when you watch him catch the ball in his workouts and his ability to get into and out of his cuts and drop his weight at that size and the quickness that he has, whether he's from Germany or from, you know, USC or whatever, wherever he'd be from, we're looking at him first and foremost as a football player and a guy that has a lot of potential that's there for our coaches to work with.
How many times have you scouted a guy by first seeing his clips on YouTube? How unusual was that?
Well, we do a lot of, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to look under every rock. And there are guys that will come across our desk and you hear this or you hear that, and you know, our pro guys with Ryan Munnins and those guys. Those guys are response. In fact, Ryan Munnins was down there working out the Baylor basketball player the other day when he had his workout that I think Dallas took as a tight end. So I think our job is always, regardless of when we get a hint that someone may have the ability to play at this level, that's our job to go out and cover it. Uncovered. It was the other example was the Canadian defensive tackle New Orleans took. You know, we sent our pro guys. Ryan went up to work him out, and we also had him in on the top 30. And he showed up at the East-West and played pretty well in the East-West. So I truly believe our guys do a great job, and it's emphasized that we're not just going to scout college. We're not just going to scout guys that are in the pros. We're going to look at every angle possible to try to find players.
Impressions of how ready Moritz can be for this level given his inexperience?
I'll let you know after this weekend. You know, the only thing you have to go off of is his, you know, the YouTube tape and, you know, the physical workout. So, you know, that'll be very exciting to see him come in and just see how far away he is or how close he is. But it's kind of hard because it's, you can't really measure it against anything. I mean, you can't even measure it against, you know, any all-star games that he was in. Some of those other guys, you know, like the Canadian defensive tackle, you can measure him down there, watching him in the East-West and watching him in, you know, practice. But with him, you know, it'll be exciting to see when he comes in here.
What indications did you have that some that other – obviously you thought someone else was going to draft him because you didn't wait?
I knew how many visits he had been on and how many teams after his workout. So just as you do recon and everything, there were a couple teams that we had heard just by kind of following the interest in that kid. So we had some recon on the back end on him potentially not being there much longer. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I'd rather, you know, if you like a kid and you think he has upside and we really like the kid when he came in here on the visit and, you know, even Norv, when they spent a lot of time with him just watching football and going through plays and route concepts and things like that, the kid's extremely smart. So, that was the biggest thing. I know the physical abilities there. It's just how far he is. And from a mental standpoint, he was off the chart smart.
Whether it's YouTube or visiting with him or private workouts, impressions of him as a route runner and then his ability to read any sort of defense that he might be presented with?
Well, watching YouTube, he runs and he catches, and then he runs around all the guys on the German YouTube. When you watched him run routes at his workout, you can tell he's really worked at it. He came in early, been working out down in Florida, and you can tell that he understands how to run routes. He's very powerful coming off the ball. He can drop his weight. He shows quickness into and out of his cuts. You watch his hands, and you watch his ability to adjust to the ball in space. I think he had one drop in the whole workout that we watched on, and I got a chance. I wasn't there at the workout personally, but what our scouts have said, and we watched both workouts actually, and I think he had one drop in the millions of balls that he'd thrown.
Did you have to have Zimmer call the network in order to keep him off the radar of other teams?
No, that was Coach Zim being Coach Zim. But But I knew, like I said earlier, that he wasn't off the radar of other teams. He was, for as much interest and as many people went down there to that workout, you knew there was interest. And the visits that he did have at other facilities, it was just, you know, like the Canadian defensive tackle. I think there were 25 teams that crossed the border to go up there to work him out in that area. And I knew when he came in, he told me he had 7 or 8 visits. So there's not a lot of secrets in this business anymore. And a lot of times when they do come in on a top 30, especially guys with unique circumstances, that's the one thing I want to know is who's showing the most interest. Has anyone had you in at your facility? And some of these guys, 7, 8, 9 teams, these guys have been going and visiting with.
What is it that intrigues you the most about Kentrell Brothers? Is it the production, the violence with the hits, his intangibles?
That he's one heck of a football player, and I know at the middle linebacker to us the most important thing is instincts. And every time I was at his game against Missouri in a pouring down rain on a Thursday night, or they played Mississippi State. It was a Thursday night game, and I charted his tackles, and he had double digit tackles. I think he had a block kick that game. One of those blocks came. He just made plays all over the field. And the number one thing from a linebacker standpoint is that, you know, you guys that sometimes are a little slower in a 40, and I have a sibling that was probably a little slower in a 40 than he even will admit. But I've never seen that guy get beat to the sideline. And I've seen the range that kid plays with, plays a lot faster because he's so instinctive and gets a jump on the ball. And then you go down there and watch him at the Senior Bowl. You watch him in practice, and you chart, you know, as I'm sitting there watching all the Senior Bowl game tape. And, again, he's one of the most, if not the most, productive linebacker in that game. So every time I had watched him or our scouts or our coaches has watched him, he's just producing. And I think those are the things that, you know, that you have to take into account, that he's just one heck of a football player.
That you guys thought Jaron Kearse, or you were surprised to see that he was still on the board when you selected him. Why do you think he fell to where he did?
I think a little bit because of some of the inconsistencies that he had shown, and I think when he probably didn't run as fast as he, you know, as his counterpart T.J. Green did. Maybe that knocked him down the boards a little bit. But he has such unique length, and he moves well, and he can drop his hits for that kind of size and height. And his stride even covers a lot of ground when you watch him on tape. Does he have to get cleaned up technically? Sure he does. Does he have to get cleaned up? You see sometimes where it comes up and explodes into hits, and other times where he gets a little out of control at times and will miss some tackles. But all those things, as we sit there and we watch it with our coaches, is it something that is correctable or not correctable? And a lot of times these guys that we are taking that may have technical issues on tape, I want to know if our coaches feel strongly enough if they can get those corrected. And I can say, you know, even with a lot of these later round guys, they have some unique traits to them, but a lot of things that are correctable with coaching.
To play alongside Harrison or to provide depth to Harrison?
I think it's like I said, right now we just want to get the best possible 90-man roster we can get together. And then once we get them in, once we get the coaches working with them, and actually seeing them in practice and running our schemes, that will all kind of work itself out.
Can you talk about what you like about Beavers and you see him as a guard?
Yeah, Beavers, when you throw on the Ohio State game, you throw on the Michigan State game, the kid played very well at left tackle. And then we went down there and watched him at the Senior Bowl, played some tackle. They moved him inside a guard. I know Tony Sperano gave us some very specifics that we need to look for at that position. And its size, its strength, and what he calls ability to dent people when they hit him. And this kid has the size, strength, and ability to dent people because you've seen him do it, especially when he's playing against, you know, Big Ten competition. Technically, he's not all there yet, but it is a – those type of guys that have his traits are the guys that our coaches really want to work with. And there are some other guys that were in the draft that were appealing, but because this guy has the size, has the athletic ability, and has the ability to dent people, or you can see him, you know, when he hits you, he hits you, to move people around, that was appealing to us. So I imagine our coaches will probably line him up inside first. But he also has ability to potentially play outside because his best games this year were against Ohio State and Michigan State as a left tackle.
How much of an influence did Coach Tony Sperano have on that pick and the evaluation of Willie Beavers?
Well, our scouts really liked him during the season. And once the process is myself, George Payton, Jamal, our scouts, we have meetings after the season in December, and then we have another meeting in February. So we kind of get the initial board set, and then we give the coaches, we go through, we have a meeting down at the Senior Bowl with our coaches, and we talk about each player. It's about a 2.5-hour meeting, and kind of go through a little positive and negative on each player down there to give our coaches kind of a preview of what they're going to be looking at. Once our coaches get involved, then they can have an influence on us on if this is the type of guy that they want or not want. A lot of times I won't move them off the draft board or change their positioning in the draft board because I still want to give them value because of where I think they're going to go in the league. But we really target specific guys in specific areas on a draft that I know our scouts liked. And then once you layer the coaches' opinions on and after they've worked with them, you know, through the pre-draft process, if they, you know, go to their workouts or they meet with them, then we really hone in on specific guys that we would like to take at certain points in the draft. And Willie definitely fit that category in the fourth round.
On some of these guys, from Treadwell to Curse, there seems to be the knock that some scouting reports have on them is that they run slow 40 times. What do you see in the difference between play speed and time speed?
Well, that's the first thing that we ask. And I know we want speed, and I, you know, talked a little bit about it, I think, last night, is they have to play fast on tape. And you do put an emphasis on speed, but if they play fast, and then you're going to say, well, this guy plays a lot faster than that speed. But at the same time, I see guys that go to the combine and run 4.35 or 4.4, and I said, geez, I estimate that guy's going to play 4.65, 4.7 by the how he plays. So a lot of these guys know how to play. I mean, they play at a high level, and they play to a higher speed than probably they time.
It's your third year now drafting for Zimmer and Norv Turner. How much more comfortable are you than, say, year one, understanding what kind of guys they want to bring in for their specific schemes?
I think it's right now we can even probably draft without those guys in the room knowing exactly what they're going to like and not like. And that's just having the opportunity to work together. You know, our process is I want our personnel department and our coaches to be together as much as possible. And scouts are getting ready to go home tomorrow and catch their breath for a little bit. But when they come back for training camp, the guys that cross-check that position are sitting in the meetings every night. I want them, they're watching the coaches coach on the field. So they should be able to tell me by listening what our coaches are saying, by watching them coach, by listening to them in the meetings. What do you know? And this was in this year especially because now it's our third time. It's like, oh, I know our coach isn't going, you know, he's not going to be a Viking fit, or he is going to be a Viking fit, just from us having that relationship and that ability to communicate with each other and us having the understanding of what the coaches want. And that's, I think that's a huge part of success.
I have time for two more.
Rick, Coach Zimmer said in the radio interview that TJ Clemens was going to move to left tackle. Is that just balance things out because you already have.
You know, you guys can ask Coach Zimmer that when you get to him. I'm not going to get into who's going to line up or where. Right now, my head's kind of spinning on getting the best players we can in here. The coaches do a pretty good job of figuring out where they're all going to fit. I'll get the pieces in, let them put the pieces together.
When you're targeting these undrafted free agents, are you kind of just still trying to grab the best ones available or maybe try to?
We are, but it seems this year it was a little more difficult because of the depth of our roster, where free agency was a lot more appealing for players to come in here. But we do think we got some quality college free agents that we've been working on. But also with the depth that I think that we currently have and what we have drafted, it makes it a little bit more difficult to maybe getting those top-tier guys. But we've had, I think last year, you know, we spent money on Anthony Harris. We spent money on the quarterback, Taylor Heineke. Those two guys, and those two guys end up making our 53-man roster.
What stuck out was the tight end, and why a tight end given your roster situation there?
A couple things. I think number one is his, like I said earlier, I think we felt he was the best blocking tight end in this draft coming out. His ability to make plays in a passing game, especially on underneath routes. And the other thing is with Rhett Ellison still coming off that patella, that significant injury, you know, we're going to have to wait and see where he's at. And hopefully he'll be healthy and ready to go for training camp. But we wanted to make sure he's something different than we drafted last year. So this guy is more of a true Y-on-the-line type tight end, we felt, even though they do split him out some. You'll see him when we watch the game tape that they'll split him out wide and throw him the ball on slants and things like that because he's so big and he has such great hands. But we try to find something a little different than we currently have, and we thought that he definitely fit that bill. Thanks, guys.